Yet Jesus did that. See, this is the part of Jesus I say to people that makes us uncomfortable. He says and does some things that we just sometimes, man, this is uncomfortable. That he would say this and do this. Because we are to follow Jesus, right? And yet Jesus tells us how we are to live. Look what it says. I like this book entitled When the Church Was a Family by Joseph Helderman. He says this. According to this passage, following Jesus has the potential to seriously compromise a disciple's family relationships, even to the point of severe strife and discord among family members. That following Jesus has the potential to compromise your family relationships. Isn't that like, wow, is that really what Jesus is all about? I thought Jesus was pro-family. I thought Jesus was all about the family. He is, his family. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say Jesus wants us to love our family. He created the family. Jesus loves marriage. He loves children. But I want to understand that he never wants you to put them above him. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. You got to show me that. I don't see me out thinking. Let me show you a scripture Jesus says this at. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. This is another controversial statement that Jesus makes that sometimes we don't like. Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 34. Look what Jesus says. He says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. He's talking about division. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies would be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Look what Jesus said. He didn't come to bring peace. He came for division. He said, he come to have you take a stand, to draw a line in the sand. What Jesus said, either you with me or you against me, but you can't straddle the fence. And at this point in time, his mother and his brothers were not with him. He says, since you're not with me, I'm not with you. I am with them. Isn't that controversial? I want you to hear the weight of what he's saying. That is controversial, and that is totally against the culture that we live in today. Because many of us say, hey, our priority is this: God, my family, maybe the church, and you know, or we, well, God, family, my sports team, my job, then maybe the church. Think about that. Church is kind of fifth, getting around to it. But remember I said church is people. So Joseph Hellerman said that really in a sense, here's what Jesus is saying. He says the priority is God's family, my family, then others. What he said, you can't separate God from his family because Christ came to create a family. He came to build a community of believers, which is called family. So the priority is the family of God. Anybody feel that tension right now in your own life? You know how we always say, man, blood is thicker than water? You know what Jesus says? The blood of Jesus is even thicker than your blood, your family blood. And that causes tension. Now, I want you to feel the tension in your own mind, in your own thought right now. Because when Jesus said that, that's how the tension was when he said it. The people understood what Jesus was saying. He was saying, I want you to put me first over every human relationship. And if it caused you strife, so be it. People say, oh, I didn't know about this. Because it is about the family of God. over your natural family. Because we are building the eternal family. So I think that understanding the church affects how we behave. Understanding the church affects how we behave. Many of us Christians, we behave poorly because of our lack of understanding about God's kingdom and God's people. So we behave poorly because we think poorly. We have a low view of God's people. We have a low view of the church. So we behave poorly because I don't really think of much. Hey, I love God, but I don't love those people. And Jesus said, you can't love me and not love the people. Because me and my people are one. And what we want to do is shift our focus to understand the church and let that shape our behavior. See, Jesus came to redeem a people from all nations that would relate to one another as family. He came to redeem a people from all nations. Now I want to say all nations mean all ethnicities. Jesus didn't come just for white people, black people. He came for all brown people. He came for all people. And what he is saying that when we understand that we are to relate as family, what that says to me, especially in our day and time, there is not to be any bigotry or racism in the church. And the reason why there is racism and bigotry in the church, because we don't understand the church the way God does. He said, I came to redeem a people from this ethnicity, and I take them and they become a family. They are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that family is more important than your natural family. And what he's saying, how can you hate your brother? How can you hate your brother and your sister? Hello? See, if we have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then the church should be the example of what it means to come together across ethnic lines. There is to be no racism in the church. It shouldn't be. If we understand the church the way Christ is, what Jesus said. But the reason why it still happens to happen in the church because we Christians don't behave like we're family. We behave like we're foreigners. That's why we keep having what we have in the church. The church is not a good, we could have a long time ago eradicated racism if the church would just be the church. Seriously. If we would just be who we are, we could eradicate that. Because what that means is the fact that if you say you love God, you're going to love God's people no matter what their skin color looks like. That's your family. And I don't know about you, who can somebody talk bad about your family? Jesus wouldn't do that. And that's why we say here at Beyond the Walls, our vision is to be what? A life-giving, multi-generational, what? Come on now, say it with me. Multi-generational, multi-ethnic, gospel-centered church that loves God and loves people. Now, what does that look like? What does a multi-ethnic church look like? What does it look like? Does anybody know? I'm going to show you right quick. Just give you an example. I'm glad you guys are here. I want somebody, come here, Monica, please, sit right there. Just right there. Turn around. Wave at the people. This is Monica. Come here, Big Mike. Right here. Come here right quick. Yeah, see? Come here, Tanya. Tanya, come on right quick. I know y'all said, man, I ain't get dressed up for this. But Mike did. He dressed like to the nine. What'd you see? He dressed to the nine. Their brother looked clean. Now come right now. Now you see this multi-ethnic family? See how they hugging one another? Yeah, height too. They height too. They came in height too. Well, okay, I didn't expect that. Y'all went too far. Look at they hugging one another and carrying on. But what I want to tell you is genuine. It's not fake. Because we're a family. This is brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not the same ethnicity. But we have the same father and the same brother. Our Father is God, and our brother, our Savior, is Jesus. Amen. And it should look like this, right? Amen. So shouldn't every church look like this? Yes. Amen? Shouldn't it look like this? Thank y'all so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. No, there's a prize waiting for you after the service. It's free water and donuts. It's free for you. You can get, y'all three get them. I got a prize for you. But that's what it should look like, right? That we should look like, we should be able to go to church and look like, and go to church where people don't look like us, vote like us, but say, hey, we are family. And so much time, the church haven't done that because we haven't behaved like Jesus did. We're family. And the strongest relationship in the family in the Jewish culture were brothers and sisters. And if we behave like brothers and sisters, it would change the dynamic of how we think about church, and the world would see that, and they would be amazed. How can these people come together and worship together? And the answer should be who? Jesus. It should be Jesus. See, when we become Christians, God does not take away our ethnicity. Do you know that? When we become Christians, we don't become colorblind either. Do you know that in heaven, that when we get to heaven, God, our ethnicity is still going to be, we'll be able to see it? Because John said he saw in heaven all tribes and nations doing what? Praising God. In other words, the fact that this caramel, what you called it the other day? You called me, what you call me? Caramel chocolate, handsome brother. No, I'm sorry. I'm joking. That's TMI. I went too far with that. She told me that about when we young. Anyway. But that's what she calls me. I said, hey, you know. But anyway. So what they're trying to say is this. This skin that I'm in is going to be the skin that I'm in heaven. And it's going to be, and so we, so our ethnicity is nothing to divide us. It's something that we celebrate. Amen. God's not gonna take away this right here. Now he's gonna upgrade a little bit. Hopefully, give me, you know, I'll be 6 feet black, you know, whatever, afro. But other than that, it's gonna be me. Right? You say, man, Pastor, you got a little taller since you went to heaven. I said, amen. Yeah. You know, but that neither here nor there. There's just a couple things. But anyway, what I'm trying to say, I laugh about this because it's a serious subject in my heart that as Christians, we need to be the church. We need to be family. And we need to stop talking about one another as that black person, that black church. That, no, we are the family of God. That's what we are. It's more than a building, it's a family. And this new family would be known for their allegiance to Jesus and their love for one another. My allegiance is not to my ethnicity. My allegiance is to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First, it's not to deny my ethnicity, but my ethnicity is not what moves me. It's my faith in Christ what moves me. Amen? That's what my allegiance is to Jesus Christ and love for one another. By this, men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, what Jesus said in the fact that when people see you interacting with one another, they will know we are his disciples. How we treat one another is important. Never forget that. That's why I tell people, never talk bad about the church. Church is God's family. When you talk about the church, you're talking about yourself because you're part of the family. See, you cannot separate love for God from love for God's church. Oh, I love God, but I can't stand that church. No, that don't go together. Matter of fact, John says you're a liar. Look what it says in John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. It says it right here on the screen. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his what? Brother. And like I said again, we are what? Family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't hate me and say you love God because we're family. And that's what the church should be about. I cannot hate somebody because of their ethnicity, because they are my brother and sister in Christ, and we are family. I love the family of God. So many times you try to separate God from his people, and you can't do that. If you say you love God, you must have love for God's church. And not only that, we must prioritize God's kingdom intentionally and publicly. Remember I said that Jesus asked a question out loud when his mother and father sent word, his mother and brother sent word, he was outside. He intentionally said, who is my mother and my brothers and my sisters? Who they are? Now everybody would have looked back and pointed. He said, no, look this way. It is you. It is you. We need to be intentional. And we need to publicly declare who our family is. See, that's why I think it's important for us to gather as the church. See, everyone that's here today, you intentionally came here today. You intentionally came here and you publicly showed up. Hopefully you said, I'm declaring this is my family. I'm not ashamed of the family of God. Who would be ashamed of their family? See, as a church, we need to be intentional about what we do and what we say, how we do things. And we need to publicly love one another. I always say this, you cannot expect to have a multi-ethnic church if you don't have a multi-ethnic life. Think about that. If everybody you know and you talk to looks like you, acts like you, man, your world is too small. God wants to expand your family. He wants to expand your vision. I remember this time I was at work when I was going to school for seminary, and I was working in Memphis, and I was working on this job, and I asked this guy one day, we were talking, he said, hey, what did you do on Sunday? I mean, I said, well, I went to church and spent time with the family, and he said, I did too. So I said, well, what church you went to? Just asking, you know. And here's what he said. I remember this. When I asked that question, he said, me and my family were looking for a church. I said, oh, really? And he said, I'm kind of ashamed of myself. I said, well, why? He said, well, me and my family, we got up, we drove around. We saw this church, beautiful building. And we pulled in the parking lot. Man, we're going to go to church. He said, but I waited in the parking lot before I went in. Now, I knew as he said this where this was going. He says, I waited in the parking lot to see who would go in. And he said, as I waited in the parking lot, my family, we saw, this when he got look, he said, drop it. We saw black people getting out their car going into the church. And he said, I'm ashamed to say this, but we drove away and went down to another church that looked more like us. Now I said to him, I said, man, you probably missed a blessing that God wanted to give you. You would have blessed those people, but more importantly, they would have blessed you. And more importantly than that, you would have blessed God. Because you would have saw them not as black people, but as your brothers, your mothers, and your sisters, your family. And they would have received you as that. But you never got to experience that because you didn't see them the way God saw them and you as family. Now think about that. Think about that. And think about your own life. Think about how you view the church, how you view people, and what you look for. Are you intentional about being with God's people no matter what color? Because you see them as family. And I believe that's what the problem in America that we're facing with. The sin of racism won't go away until God's people eradicate it in their own hearts and minds. Until we take a stand and say, we are the people of God. We celebrate Jesus. We don't do away with our ethnicity, but our faith is in Jesus Christ. And this is my mother, my brother, and my sister. And we're family. And that family is more stronger to me than my biological family. That's what Jesus said. And that's why I think it's important for us to be intentional. We need to develop gospel relationships and friendships. We need to develop intentionally gospel relationships and friendships with other brothers and sisters from different ethnicities that don't look like us and think like us, because it helps us grow and mature. We need to develop gospel relationships and friendships. And what I mean by gospel, gospel relationships and friendships draw you closer to Jesus. It doesn't pull you away from God and God's church. It pushes you closer and closer away to God's people. See, some of you, you have friends, you have relationships, but they're not gospel friendships. They're not drawing you closer to love God and love God's people. It's pulling you away from God and away from God's people, away from God's church. It's pulling you away from God, not closer to Him. You need to develop gospel relationships. Why? Because those relationships are eternal. They are eternal. They're never going away. He who wants friends must first show himself friendly. So what does that mean? To develop gospel relationships that are intentional and publicly and also are ethically different, does it mean you got to be intentional? You got to go up to somebody that don't look like you and start talking to them. Just talk to them. See, it's hard for us, right? Because most of us, we gravitate to people that what? Think like, you know, if you talk about sports, I go to the sports, you know, the sports crowd. But what you should do is go to somebody that don't look like you, think like you. No one in the Beyond the Walls should walk alone. And that's why we always say here at Beyond the Walls that we want to be a family, and when people come to church, we want you to know that we see you. No, we actually see you. And we acknowledge you. And we love you. Nobody should walk in our church and walk out and nobody has spoken to them and said, hello, glad to see you. It's our pleasure that you were here. No one should ever feel that way. Because that's not what we believe. When you walk in here from the parking lot, we want you to know we see you. And we're glad you're here. Welcome home, we say. Welcome home. And I believe this, how we interact with the family of God strengthens our gospel witness to the world. The church is not always seen in a positive light in the world, especially when it comes to racial strife. But I believe that if we act as the family of God, it will strengthen our gospel witness. When people ask you, why do you go to that church? And you say, because that's my family. We are a family. And when people see us interacting with one another, they will say, truly, Jesus is real. Let us be the church. Let us interact as family. And in a family, what do you have in a family? Issues. Drama. I don't know, no family don't have issues. If you do, well, God bless your family. But my family has issues and drama. But one thing we don't do, we don't abandon family. Well, we have issues and drama in God's family, but we don't abandon family, do we? We don't talk bad about family. We forgive family and we grow together, because all of us are on different spiritual growth levels. But when you love God's people, it transforms everything that you do. I can remember this conversation I was having about a month ago with a long friend of mine, a buddy of mine. He was my best man at my wedding. He lives in Tennessee, and I remember when I was in Memphis living there, I was pastoring a church. And he still remembers that to this day. And he said, we was talking, he said, man, I'm so proud of you, and that was so awesome that you was pastoring a predominantly white church. He said, man, I couldn't believe that, but I was so proud of you. Many people don't know that when at my first pastorate, that I told my, I think we said that the church was 97% white. And said, my family walked in. We, you know, 3% was us. It's true. I'm serious. The first church I pastored was predominantly white. They did a story on the news about us. It was on the news. It said, I wish I could find the article. You can find the article. It was called Faith, Hope, and Love in Black and White. They were shocked. And he still remembered that to this day. Man, I remember that. And people ask me, why would you go to that church that's predominantly white and be their pastor? Because they're my family. That's why. And I'm telling you, some of my closest relationships and love has been people in that church. One of the ladies who went home to be with the Lord, her name was Miss Hazel. She was a beautiful, precious lady, loved my kids and treated me like her son. And my children called her grandmother. To this day, she is a precious lady in my life. I was blessed by that church because it taught me about seeing people the way God sees them. That's why I tell people all the time, I tell people, and I don't apologize about this, I never want to pastor a predominantly black church or predominantly whatever church. I want it to be multi-ethnic because that's how I came to see church, people coming together because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So that means we got to do some work, right? We got to do some work. We must have a multi-ethnic life. So how do we take it beyond the walls? How do we live this out? Praise Jesus that his kingdom is worthy to be chosen and allow the Holy Spirit to help you maintain your loyalty to God's family and not the world.